Good morning. You are listening to The Beacon. Here we are.
Once again.
For better or for worse, we are once again back.
Well, I think it's better. The weather is broken.
It has.
Hasn't it?
Let's hope so.
It was supposed to be 80 degrees on Sunday, but then that forecast came out, I think, on Tuesday. But then by the time the end of the week rolled around, it had been revised to a colder temperature, so, but maybe we'll get it sooner or later.
You know what? I have never talked about weather more in my life than I have in these last 2 weeks. Like, my entire time on this earth, I've not talked about the weather as much as I've talked about it the last 2 weeks.
Well, it's such an integral part.
It's so integral, and I think we're all ready for it, but I swear to God, every conversation I have with every person now somehow involves
the weather.
The weather.
Well, it's because it's so unusual this time of year, at least it had been.
It is.
It's been so cold for so long.
I know, and I know we're all eager for sunshine and warm weather, and I'm with you. I mean, I'm privy to those conversations as well, but I was just thinking on my way here, like, I don't think I've had more conversations about the weather in my entire life as I have had in the last 2 weeks combined.
Yeah, well.
So we'll see. That's what you get for living in a climate that's warm 3 months of the year.
And it changes so rapidly.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. That's the weird part about it. It really does. So, so you and I are a little out of sorts today for,
various reasons.
Various
ripping
reasons.
And running and running and ripping and doing so many different things.
Yes, absolutely. I was really like, in a funk. I mean, not in a funk, but just, so I've talked about it on the air before, but my life is just, I'm on the road. I drive constantly. And this week has been, for some reason, has just felt exceptionally taxing as far as driving goes. I mean, 3 or 4 days this week, I was on the road 5+ hours. And it just, by the end of the week, I just can't do it anymore. Like, I feel like my head is going to explode.
Or just think of yourself as a rock star on tour.
Is that it? But I'm driving myself, so I don't get to, like, sleep
well,
in a big luxury bus. Like, if I could take a nap in the back bunk beds, then I'd be great. I'd be good to go and, like, have my candy jars all filled up, but then I, like, would have no problem with that road time. I started a new yoga teaching job, which is so fantastic, and I'm very, very excited about it. But it's certainly added to, like, what I have to do and what I'm doing. And so there's just a lot of, I have to interpret from now to now, and I have to do yoga from now to now, not have to, I get to. And it's going to take me an hour to get from point A to point B, and then from point B back to point C, it's going to take me another hour. So it's just a lot of coordinating.
So what you should do is set up your own shop and have them come to you, you're in residence in Las Vegas or something.
That I'll have to work up to that. Just like I have to drive myself on my Rockstar tours, I have to make the commutes before I can get...
Well, we have some candy out in the lobby there. I'll get you some afterwards.
Great. Wonderful. And I'm sorry, I just paused because an alert just came up on my phone that my son's school had a soft lockdown. So that was
a soft
lockdown. And I don't know what that means, but I got a little distracted there. So commercial break, I'll have to look deeper into that.
All right. And, you know what happened to me. Remember last week, I keep hitting the mic. Sorry about that.
Sorry, friends.
What happened to me is I told you about the tooth situation.
Yes. What happened?
And I went last Saturday after the show to have a filling put in.
Okay.
And all of that. And it was quite expensive, somewhere around $300. And 4 days later, it came out.
Oh, my gosh. And this was the dentist that was highly recommended, correct? So are we recanting our recommendation of said dentist?
I think so, but now I have to get some more procedures done, so I don't know. I'm kind of...
Are they going to charge you for the...
They already did.
I mean, can they give you a credit or a refund if
I don't
the
know.
Procedure doesn't...
I guess I should call and ask, but I don't think so.
That's crazy.
It doesn't look like the kind of place that does that.
Yeah, but you paid for a service that you didn't receive, so I...
Well, part of it's still in there.
I don't think part of it is, like, acceptable. I think you deserve the whole thing, considering that is what you paid for.
Incidentally.
See, I'm in a salty mood. You know what? Give me that dentist phone number. I'm going to call them myself, and I'm going to get you your money back.
Oh, that'd
that's
be
just
great.
The kind of mood I'm in right now.
All right. Well, by the way, welcome to the Beacon, folks.
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying your Saturday morning.
We're off to a roaring start.
A roaring start.
We're just bringing sunshine into your homes.
Speaking of, let me bring some sunshine into your house. We talked about it last week. Just want to remind you that the 8th Annual District 1A Lions Helen Keller 5K Run Walk will take place tomorrow at the Richards High School, 10601 South Central Avenue in Oak Lawn. I paused there when I said South Central because my mind flashed to Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, yeah. I've never heard of South Central as a reference.
But it does exist in Oak Lawn.
Okay.
And registration begins at 7:30 a.m. with runners and walkers promptly starting at 9:30 a.m. And it should be a good day. And the Lions are conducting it, of course, and it's a very special event. Registration fees for the 5K run are $30. $30 to run 5,000...
5 kilometers, not 5,000 miles.
5 kilometers.
I'm so glad I'm not alone in this today.
$20 for a kilometer walk. I think I could handle the walk, but not the run. Proceeds will benefit programs serving people who are blind or visually impaired, including those offered by the Lighthouse. And so you can call Lion Chris Coleman at 708-785-5726. So I think you can still register. I don't see why not.
Oh, they'll take your money.
Lions are good guys. So.
I'm sure. I'm sure they won't turn your dollars away.
Yeah, I'm sure they won't do that. So, I hope that brightens the day a little bit, gets us out of our doldrums. We have no good news. Is there any good news? Oh, we have the off factor.
We have the off factor. Yes,
so,
we do have
good.
The off factor.
We'll lift our spirits that way. But also on the show today, we have recruitment manager and human resources at the Chicago Lighthouse, Angela Kearney. She's always so nice to me. She always greets me.
That's
lovely. She always
lovely.
Says, hello, Brian.
And is that
she does
unusual
it at
around here?
A high... for me, it is.
Is it? Do people avoid Brian in the hallways?
I think mostly. There
are. Are you a disgruntled employee and I just don't know about it?
I wouldn't say I'm disgruntled. Just, you know, quiet.
You are quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
okay.
And so I'm walking through the halls stealthily and people don't know how to take me.
Oh,
but
sorry, B.
Angela's always nice. The Lighthouse and the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities are collaborating on a hiring event, and so she'll talk about that with Sandy.
Cool.
Yeah, and so, you know, we've got, as we mentioned, the Off Factor, and highly recommended at Luke's Laboratory, and all those things.
We got all our usuals.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Well, let's get this show rolling.
Rolling,
down the river.
Rolling, rolling.
And we will be right back after this.
This is Coach Mike Ditka. I'm asking you to support my friends at the Chicago Lighthouse, who are providing critical educational services to children who are blind, visually impaired, or multi-disabled. Through its innovative preschool, Birth to Three, and other cutting-edge programs, the Lighthouse is making a big difference in the lives of these children.
This is Dr. Janet Slick, President and CEO of the Chicago Lighthouse. These are exciting times here at the Chicago Lighthouse. The Chicago Lighthouse provides a community of comprehensive care for people who are blind, visually impaired, disabled, and veterans. To find out how you can help, call 312-997-3675 or visit us at chicagolighthouse.org.
Well, everyone, here at the Chicago Lighthouse, one of our priorities is to provide jobs for people who are blind, visually impaired, disabled, and veterans. And, you know, for several years, we have partnered with the MOPD, Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, here in Chicago to do just that. And this morning, I'm speaking with Angela Kearney, who is Recruitment Manager here at Human Resources. Angela, how are you today?
I am well, Sandy. How are you?
I am doing great. Thanks for joining us bright and early this
sure.
morning. Sure. So, Angela, give us a little bit of basics about this career. this hiring event. I know that it's been held for a few years now.
Yes, so like you mentioned earlier, we are we have partnered with the Mayor's Office with People with Disabilities. The last one we had was in September of 2015. So again, it is a hiring event where mm-hmm. we are looking forward to hiring individuals that are blind, visually impaired, have other disabilities, as well as our veteran communities. And it's going to be held on Saturday, May 9th at 2018. I'm sorry.
And that is May 9th.
Yes, that is May 9th from 1 o'clock p.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Now, is that on a Saturday or on a Wednesday?
That is a Saturday. No, I'm sorry. That is Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday afternoon.
You're getting over to the weekend, huh? You're jumping ahead to the weekend.
Yes, yes.
I know. I don't blame you. I mean, hopefully by then the weather will be nicer. And we all want it to be Saturday every single day.
Absolutely.
So that mm-hmm. we can enjoy the weather. No, but Angela, what are some of the requirements? Well, first of all, for people wondering, you know, this is a hiring event. What types of positions are you guys looking for?
So as you know, Sandy, Chicago Lighthouse, we manage call centers, one being with the Illinois Tollway and two with University of Illinois Hospital and Health Systems.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently recruiting for call center agents with the Illinois Tollway, as well as medical schedulers with UI Health.
Sure.
Now for the Illinois Tollway, the requirements are you need to be able to type 25 words per minute with a 90% or better accuracy, intermediate computer skills such as log on, log off, cut, copy, paste, minimize, maximize, and things of that sort at a good time rate, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now for the medical schedulers, your typing needs to be a little bit more at 30 words per minute with 90% or better accuracy, also with the intermediate computer skills, as well as having some medical terminology knowledge or medical background.
Hmm. Now, you know, just as a background, a lot of times when I tell people, you know, that here at the Chicago Lighthouse, we have several call centers and that we employ, you know, people with visual impairments, people wonder, you know, how can someone with a visual impairment possibly do call center work, you know, use the computers and whatnot. But, you know, for those of you that have visited the Lighthouse before, we have all the computers adapted with specialized technology, you know, for our individuals who are blind. Maybe they might need a screen reader or enlargement software. And this is an accommodation that's provided to the employees, correct?
That is correct, yes. Whether it's Zoom text, like you said, that gives screen magnification, mm-hmm. or here with the medical schedulers or employment at Chicago Lighthouse, we have the accommodation if you are a JAWS user. So, yes, we do have those accommodations.
Mm-hmm. Great. So what do people need to bring? Are there any other requirements?
We ask that you come dress professionally, bring your resumes. We will be given typing tests and the computer assessment, as well as interviews on that particular day. So just come Wednesday and just be ready.
Be prepared for a new job. Huh?
Absolutely. And definitely, you know, bring your resume and just come with with expectation that I can come here. Chicago Lighthouse is going to support me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pass my typing test, my assessment, get an interview, and be ready for work very soon.
That's
once
right.
you pass the assessment, you can very well pass the assessment, the interview, and also complete your background paperwork. You can be working as early as 2 to 3 weeks right after.
Wow, that's amazing. And I understand that you're looking also for bilingual.
Yes, absolutely. Bilinguals as well. So bilinguals, like mentioned, those that's disabled, visually impaired, or veterans, yes.
Great. And now, where is this hiring event going to be held?
Okay, again, so I reiterate, Wednesday, May 9th, 2018, 1 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., and that's going to be at MOPD, Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, and their location is 2102 West Ogden Avenue, that's in Chicago, Illinois, 60612. And definitely, if you need more information, you can call 312-746-5743. And we will also have, if you need some type of accommodations, you can call that number as well.
All right. So can you repeat the number again?
The number to call is, and this is the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities. Their number is 312-746-5743. 443.
Great. And again, just to recap, the hiring event will be held on Wednesday, May 9th, between 1 and 3:30 at the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities. That is located at 2102 West Ogden. And this is in Chicago, very close to the Lighthouse. And is there anything else you'd like to add, Angela?
No, I'd just like to say, come on out, be encouraged. If you do not pass your assessment or your typing, we are going to have some assistance where we'll be able to have some training and curriculums to help you going forward. So come on out and give it a chance.
Great. Well, again, thanks, Angela, for joining us today, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Sandy, so much for having me here, and I look forward for great participation from the event.
All right. Well, everyone, this has been the Lighthouse Beacon on WCPT 820 AM. We will be right back.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Sadly, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. Even sadder, most of these deaths are preventable with a few lifestyle changes, including regular activity, healthier eating, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease, and if your doctor recommends lifestyle changes or medication, listen. The reason so many die is because not enough are willing to change. You can stop it, starting right now. It's your life. Listen to your doctor. Eat better. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is It's Highly Recommended. And I'm Brett Shishkoff.
And I am Sandy Murillo.
And we do reviews of a wide variety of things. And so today we have, I have a play that I went to go see and a movie-book combination review that I'm going to do. And then, Sandy, you have a TV show that you wanted to tell us about briefly that you found on Netflix, and I believe you said it's on NBC. Would you like to kind of jump right into that?
Yeah, Brett. Well, one of my friends actually recommended this show to me, I believe it was about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
It's called Timeless.
Mm-hmm.
It airs on NBC. Right now it's on its second season, and I actually just started watching the first season again about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the premise of it, it's one of those shows that I just consider, you know, like a diversion, like an entertainment thing after a long day.
Right.
So it's a group of, it's three individuals. It's a programmer, a soldier, and a history professor. And basically, they are working to track down a set of criminals who are trying to change the course of history. You know, meaning that they're trying to change important periods that happened throughout our history. And so mm-hmm. The professor, the programmer, and the soldier, they invent a time machine
mm-hmm.
So that they can go back in time to hopefully, you know, find those criminals before they, you know, create a disaster and basically change the course of history.
Yeah,
literally.
It reminds me a lot of, like, Quantum Leap. That mm-hmm. was a show back in, like, I think the 80s and early 90s that was out.
Yep.
I think a new show that's on, I think it's Hulu, is 11-22-63. It's based off of a Stephen King novel. Where they go back and try and stop the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
You know, so it's kind of that sounds very familiar. Mm-hmm. One of my friends also mentioned that to me, so I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that's one that I'm kind of waiting to see if Hulu can jump on to the audio description.
Oh, for sure.
Because I think it would be a very interesting show, and I've heard really good things about it. So I'm kind of trying to wait for that one, specifically 11-22-63. I'm waiting for that one to hopefully get audio description here in the near future.
And, you know, with Timeless, Brett, it's neat because it's one of those that is, you know, entertaining, but at the same time, it's educational. You know, it goes back, for example, to 1865 during Abraham Lincoln's assassination,
mm-hmm.
to 1944 during World War II. So different periods in history that, you know, maybe we forgot about that you know, maybe when we were in school, we didn't pay enough attention to our history class. So,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it just reminds me. And I do have to say, Brett, that it wasn't until I got to college that I became more interested in history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those shows that I find fascinating and educational. And it is available with audio description on Netflix. So that's a show that I highly recommend if you just want to watch something fun and educational.
How far have you gotten in the show, if you don't mind me asking? Have you finished it, or are you still trying to get through the rest of the
right
season?
Now, I am still in the middle of the first season, so I'm in about the seventh episode.
But so far, it's keeping you pretty entertained.
So far, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, and right now, there's only two seasons, so I'm getting there.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. How about you? I know that you have quite the combination.
I do. So, in that, do you mind going back in time with me?
Why not, Brett?
We're going to go to World War II. We're going to go onto an island, if you don't mind joining me for it.
All right, let's go to the island.
It's in the South Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to actually be on the beach. Some palm trees. Well, how does that sound? It sounds pretty good.
Well, especially now with this weather. I mean.
Yeah, the weather, you know, we're still having snow.
Yep.
So why not just come with me to the beach?
All right.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about South Pacific. I went to Drury Lane. It's out in Oak Brook.
Yep.
And it's going to be playing through June 14th.
Mm.
So I was out there last week, and I was able to check out the press performance. And this is a Rodgers and Hammerstein Hammerstein musical. Most people probably know of it in some way or another.
Sure.
It's got some very catchy music. One of my favorite songs that I've never really seen the play before or heard any of the music before. At least I didn't know I heard them before. And so one of the songs that's really catchy is "I'm Gonna Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair." And so that was a very cool one. That
great
I enjoyed.
Singing, Brett.
Thank you, thank you. That's why I leave it up to the professionals. I just review them. They do a heck of a lot better than I can be on stage. So I give them kudos and props for all the hard work they put in. I did enjoy the music. Like, they have a full orchestra.
Sure.
It was just your classic Rodgers Hammerstein type production. The acting itself, for the most part, was good. In the first act, the two main characters, Emil and Nellie, they're the love interests that you're pretty much paying attention to. Nellie is a young nurse who has fallen in love with this Frenchman who's been on this French Polynesian island for a long period of time because of a crime that he committed when he was younger. And so he's got two kids now. His previous wife passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're kind of in love, and it kind of touches on the race issue a little bit, because once she finds out that that he actually was in a relationship with a colored person, her being from the South at that time, that was kind of taboo. It was frowned upon at that time.
Sure.
And so it does touch on that. And then there's another character, Lieutenant Cable, who also has a relationship with one of the girls on the island. My favorite character is actually Bloody Mary, and which is the mom of the girl that Lieutenant Cable sleeps with. So she ends up setting up Lieutenant Cable because he's a nice looking guy. He has some stature because he's part of the military, and he at first has some second thoughts about getting into a relationship. And the girl wants to marry him, and Bloody Mary wants Lieutenant Cable to marry her, and he doesn't really think that it feels right.
So is that where the name of the drink came from, Brett? Do you know?
The Bloody Mary? I'm not sure. I didn't do any research, but that is a good question. Maybe I'll look that up for next week and let our listeners know.
That's right.
If that's where it came from. But it did get a little bit better in the second act. You could tell that the chemistry between the two main leads, Emil and Nellie, they did become a little bit closer. They both are phenomenal singers. Their voices are great. Nellie, she has a very, very good range. She had a thick country accent because she's supposed to be from the South.
Right.
And she seemed to play that really, really well. And in some of the songs, she was able to keep that country twang going through.
Nice.
So It was fun. Martin Wilde was my audio describer.
And he's phenomenal.
He did a great job. Unfortunately, when I first got there, they had me on the wrong channel, so I missed the first portion of his description before the show started. But we were able to get it fixed before the show started. So I didn't miss any of the show. I just missed some of the pre-notes that he had. But it was cool because the sound designer actually put... There's speakers all over Drury Lane now, and so you could actually hear the waves crashing around you, like, during certain scenes. If planes were flying overhead, because it is World War II, and so there was a portion where they're going off to try and take care of the Japanese that were in an island near them, and so the planes are flying overhead, and so you really, the sound gets you kind of sucked in, that you're almost feeling like you're on this island with the military and these nurses, and so you really feel like you're part of the action. And so I really like that. You don't notice it as much at other theaters, but this was one thing that did stick out to me, was the combination of how great the music was with the sound design that they put in. It was fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the show quite a bit.
Good.
But like I said, just some chemistry issues was the only note that I have. But if you're looking for a fun musical to go see, Drury Lane, South Pacific, like I said, it's through June 14th. Go ahead and take a look at it. Check it out. You can actually go to Drury Lane Theater, which is, the theater is actually R-E instead of E-R. So DRURYLANETHEATRE.com. And you can look up, times and how much tickets are and all of that. So,
all right. Well, I'll have to check it out.
Mm-hmm. And I have a book that I read in October, so around the same time about Scythe last week, I actually talked about that. And so now we're going to go from the past, we're going to go to the future.
We're going to go crank that time machine, huh?
Yeah, we're going to basically go almost 100 years into the future to 2040. So in 2040, let's just imagine if, like, Bill Gates all of a sudden died and decided to give his entire inheritance, all of what he's worth, over to you. But you have to find something. And you have to find this thing inside of a world he created in a computer. In a computer game, basically. It's a virtual reality computer-based simulation that everybody basically lives in the future.
Oh, wow.
So that's what this premise is about. It's basically this gentleman who creates what's known as the Oasis. Mm-hmm. It's a virtual reality that everybody's a part of. And he dies all of a sudden in 1940, and he decides to make an Easter egg. An Easter egg in video games is kind of a special little treat that the designer of the game decides to put in there, that if you go off of the path of the way that the video game is supposed to go, you can sometimes find these little treats that these designers kind of sneak in there.
Hmm.
So he decides to put this Easter egg somewhere in this massive world that he's created that has many, many different planets. And he decides to make there's three keys that you have to find to unlock these three gates. And then and then you get clues that take you to the next thing. And then once you get that third key, you have the chance to be able to get to that Easter egg. And then you win. Whoever gets there first gets to take control of his company and have his 500 trillion dollar wealth that he has.
Sounds very futuristic, Brett.
It's very futuristic. It's pretty cool. It does seem very close to kind of where we're heading, with like augmented reality, virtual reality, all of that stuff has been kind of a big thing in the news the last couple of years. So it does seem like we could end up there at some point. That the world is such a rough place that people decide not to live in this world, but want to go into another world where they can be whatever they want. Yeah. And so that's kind of what he decides to create, is this kind of world where you can be who you want. You can kind of protect yourself so you don't actually tell people who you are. You have different names.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that protection, kind of talking about like the whole Facebook security stuff.
Right.
So it is very interesting, and the book is so much fun. I watched the movie. I enjoyed the movie,
mm-hmm.
but Steven Spielberg decided to take the premise of the three keys and the Easter egg. That's basically all he took. But how you got to the end from the book to the movie are like completely two different stories.
Mm,
they meet all the main characters. The main character is Wade Watts, is his name. And he ends up having a few of these people that are his best friends by the time that the book ends. Mm-hmm. They meet completely different in the book compared to the movie. So Steven Spielberg actually went very liberal on what he took from the book. Mainly he just took the premise and the character names and then maybe one or two other thing like scenes out of the book. But for the most part, you could read the book and go and see the movie and it would almost be two entirely different stories for the most part, but just with the same ending.
And what's the name of the book?
It's called Ready Player One.
All right.
And so, yeah, the book is highly, highly recommended by me. It's my favorite book I've ever read.
Mm.
And, you know, I've read quite a few books lately and over these last few years. And so I'm probably close to somewhere near 100 books or so. And out of the 100 books that I've read, this is definitely up there for me as my favorite book. It's just, if you're a person who's looking for some nostalgia, it has a lot of like 80s references, 70s references. Mm-hmm. If you grew up on like playing video games like Atari and Nintendo,
mm-hmm.
It has a lot of references to that. If you grew up watching TV shows and movies from the 80s, the books have a lot of references to all of these things that like I personally grew up on
right.
and like my brother who's older than me grew up on. So there's a lot of nostalgia there.
Sure.
The movie does touch on that to a certain extent. So like Chucky even makes a little bit of an appearance in there. King Kong is in there to a certain extent. There's a wide variety of characters that you would know from, you know, these big named movies. Shining is a portion of the movie. One of the challenges to get one of the keys is as them walking through like portions of The Shining, which is a Stephen King book that was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting on the take that Steven Spielberg took. I like the movie, but as of comparing it to the book, there is no comparison whatsoever. The book is really, really good. It's way better than the movie, but the movie is still fun to go and check out.
Well, there you have it. There's another recommendation from Brett.
Yeah. We do have, I think, one event coming up. And, Sandy, you kind of wanted to touch on that briefly, I believe, right?
Yeah. So, you know, returning back to 2018.
Yes. We're back in our time.
So, Brett, I don't know if you recall that in 2016, we had a crew from the Visionaries documentary series come over to the Lighthouse.
I do remember this. I think you were a star of the show.
I don't know about a star, but I was definitely.
And I believe Bill Jurek is a part of it
as
well.
You know, in fact, Brett, you know, thanks for bringing that up because it will be dedicated to the memory of Bill Jurek, the entire show, which is, you know, it's truly fitting,
yes,
I think.
Yes, I agree.
But the documentary will air actually on WTTW Channel 11 in Chicago's local PBS station.
Mm-hmm.
It will air on Sunday, May 6th at 4 o'clock p.m. And the documentary will give us an overview of the Chicago Lighthouse and all of our programs and services.
And what's the name of the documentary one more time?
So the documentary, the series, it's called The Visionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And that show will focus on the Chicago Lighthouse.
Excellent. I think that's all we have for everybody this week. We'll be back again next week with some more reviews. I look forward to talking with you again next week there, Sandy. You have a good week.
You have a great week too, Brett.
Thank you very much. And everybody else, you all have a great week. You are listening to The Lighthouse Beacon. And I am Brett Shishkoff.
And I am Sandy Murillo.
And we will be back.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000 plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul Computer Information Systems and a master's in Business Information Technology. And I know I have a disability and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also. Going to a job interview and people look at you strange because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, welcome back, folks, to the Beacon on this Saturday. Nice weekend. That's all I have to say.
That's it. More weather talk, just in case you missed it on our first go around.
Well, I'm trying to avoid things. There's lots of things going on, but when we taped the show, for instance, was the day that the Bears were looking at drafting their pick for this year, their eighth pick, and we don't know who that is while we're taping this, but now we know, so can't really speak about that.
That's really all there is to talk about.
Yes, and there are other things happening, but
I've got a good story today, which is actually quite a mainstream story, so I'm sure that a lot of us have heard of it. But
a mainstream story? Oh,
yes.
Okay. So let's just quickly move right into the awe factor, and we'll get much-needed happiness.
Thank you. Is that it?
That's
it. Is that your segue? That was your big intro?
That's it.
All right, friends. Well, as we all know, or I'm assuming most of us know, there was another mass shooting in the world in Tennessee this week down at the Waffle House. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on the hero of the story, who is Mr. James Shaw, who single-handedly wrestled the gunman down and removed the gun from his hands and saved the lives of many people as a result of, you know, his quick thinking and his courage. Not only that, so that in and of itself is tremendously heroic. He's saying that they're not heroic. He says that he was simply trying to save his own life when he confronted the shooter who had just killed four people. But people across the country have been hailing him as a hero. But here's what I find super
palpitating?
Sure, we'll go with that. This is what pulls at my heartstrings here is that the day after the shooting, he started a GoFundMe page for the victims' families. So not only did he save the lives of potentially dozens of people who were in the Waffle House and as he wrestled the gun out of the shooter's hands, but he also then the next day set up a GoFundMe page, which to date is at $170,000. His is at $124,000, but as a result, there was a man in New York who was inspired by Mr. Shaw's, you know, selfless acts and decided to start a page to benefit Mr. Shaw. And his page, he's got a four-year-old daughter. James Shaw has a four-year-old daughter, and his page has reached $170,000. So the page that James Shaw set up for the victims' families is at $158,000. I said $140,000. It's at $158,000. And then the man who started the page for James Shaw, as of Thursday, his GoFundMe account was at $170,000. So I just find that, you know, Mr. Rogers said it best, where, you know, if you look for the good in bad situations, you'll find it, or something along those lines, where, you know, there's always heroes among us, and sometimes it's just very easy to overlook them and pay attention to, you know, the horrific unfolding of events, which was the mass shooting yet again. But to be able to look a little bit deeper and see the goodness that does come out of these events, I think is, you know, it just, it, it, I find it very inspiring, and it makes me feel like I want to do something selfless as well. And, you know, although I don't think James would have set out that morning to stop a shooter had he have, you know, had the opportunity to plan for it, he did. He's very humble. He says, "I want people to know that I did what I did completely out of a selfish act. I was just trying to save him. He was just trying to save himself. But as a result, he, you know, saved many others, and people, you know, are hailing him a hero for doing that. And I think that his humility is sort of part of his charm as well, saying, you know, I wasn't trying to be a hero. I just didn't want to die. I wanted to save myself." And then out of that, you know, he started the GoFundMe page for the families, and then another man started a GoFundMe page for him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I just, you know,
he was just probably eating his breakfast and
3 a.m.
And another shooter, it is 3 a.m. and he's tired. And
yep.
He's
like, I don't have time for this.
Exactly. He saw a break and he took his opportunity.
I cannot do this with you people anymore. This is not going to happen.
I am sick of this.
Yep.
And he just attacked the guy maybe out of anger.
It could very well have been. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. Seriously, because that adrenaline kicks in and you just sort of do things that you would never anticipate that you are capable of doing.
Right.
Like stopping a shooter. But he did. And, you know, people are very thankful for him. And I appreciate his humility, and I appreciate what he had, you know, then followed up with to help the victims' families. So,
and you know, a couple of days ago, I saw on the Daily Mail there was a video of a guy who was in a convenience store, and it was being robbed by a gunman, and he walked up to the counter where the gunman was, and somebody walked into the convenience store, and the gunman turned his head and to see who it was, and this gentleman grabbed the guy's gun, knocked it out of his hand, and then he started throwing him around the convenience store.
Wow.
And he stopped that robbery. So,
yeah.
You know, people are definitely getting sick and tired of all of this that's going on.
I think that's what it is. I think that's very well put, is we've had it. You know, we're not even scared anymore. We're just like, just knock it off. I mean, there's no place in the world for this type of violence, and yet it just keeps reemerging, and nobody in power is doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Like, there's been no mention of this out of the White House, you know, and it's, you can speculate as to why that is, you know, and there's nobody doing anything about it who has the power to do things about it. And so people, I think, are just done and feel like they need to take matters in their own hands, or even don't realize it. But to your point, just like, we don't have time for this. Like, we got stuff to do, enough. And,
right.
You know, and really just kind of letting that adrenaline take over.
People are realizing that they're going to, and I think not too long ago, there was some law enforcement official, I think in Milwaukee or something like that, he made an admission that he obviously was really criticized for, where he said that, you know, the police can't always protect you. So
at least it's honest.
Yeah, and so you have to sort of look to take care of yourself and at least be prepared. But you don't want to do anything, you know, that's really dangerous or put your life at risk. You want to leave it to the professionals whenever you can, but you do have to be able, I guess, in some instances, to defend yourself.
Right. And I think that's, you know, that's a good way of putting it. I think that you know, you get into this fight or flight mode, and you there's something instinctual that takes over, and your conscious sort of thought and premeditated awareness is like, it just evaporates, and it's sort of, you know, this other side of you takes over, and you kind of look back in hindsight and go, what did I do?
Right, right. Like, I've had that feeling
right, yeah.
Before, not necessarily in self-defense.
Right, right.
So, yes, it does exist.
Yes, it does exist.
And that's a good story then. So this guy, do we know anything about his background? What was his name, James?
James Shaw Jr.
Does he have a military background, do you know?
I don't think so. I mean, honestly, I think that he was just out there, and he's got a 4-year-old daughter. He's 29 years old. I don't think that it doesn't say anything in this story about him having any sort of military background or being trained in self-defense or selfless acts. I think he was just a dude having waffles and was like, nope, this is not happening on my watch. He said, I kind of made up my mind because there was no way to lock that door, that it was going to just come down to it. So he was going to have to work to kill me.
And I do remember, I think, reading that that gentleman, the shooter, had additional clips in his pocket.
Nope, it's not surprising. They come armed to do damage.
Yes.
Definitely.
And you know who else does damage?
Oh!
Drum roll, please. That would be Juan and Luke.
Yes.
Luke's laboratory is coming up, and they've got information about a whole host of things. Technology, roadshows, and the customer of the week, as Luke puts it.
I like that. Very exciting. It's a big build-up. Something to look forward to.
Okay.
Luke Laboratory.
And how are you, Luke? Good. Saturday to you.
Thank you. It's finally warming up around this place, so things are looking up.
So what's up? And I understand we got our new product and new roadshow, so let's get this party started.
All right. So I talked a few weeks ago about the Visolux XL FHD. It's a new handheld electronic magnifier, and I said that we would be getting it soon. Well, we still haven't got it, unfortunately, because it's on back order. However, I have got my hands on it. Just this week, I managed to take a look at it, and I'm happy to report that it's looking pretty good. Let me tell you a little bit about this thing. It's a handheld electronic magnifier, but it has a 12-inch screen. That's going to be the largest screen of any handheld electronic magnifier which we have had up to this point. So the closest size we've got at the moment is 8-inch. So this one's another 4 inches bigger, which is pretty good. So, you know, it's practical for those larger reading tasks, reading newspapers for sure, magazines, even could be useful for reading books and things like that. So it's real nice. Even with that screen size, I'm happy to report that it's not too heavy. So it's definitely still portable. You can easily pick it up and move it from place to place. I know people oftentimes want to read a recipe in the kitchen, but then they want to go into the front room and read their mail, and then they want to sit on their easy chair and they want to read a magazine. This is definitely feasible for doing all of those things, easy to carry around, and also looks really nice as well. It's very stylish. So all of that stuff is great. As a lot of new products do, it has a touch screen. And so you can zoom in using those pinch and reverse pinch gestures, which you might be using on your smartphone or tablet at the moment. So very easy. It does also have physical controls as well. So if you don't want to use a touchscreen, you don't have to. One of the really cool things about it is that you can do swiping on the touchscreen to scroll around the text when you're magnified. And so basically, let's say that you've zoomed in to 3 times magnification. Normally with a handheld electronic magnifier, you would have to move the whole thing to the left, to the right as you're reading, so it moves over the page. With this device, you can actually use the touchscreen to swipe around. And so you can swipe to the left, to the right, to pan around the text as you read, which is pretty nice, pretty convenient. It means you don't have to move the actual device itself so much. Apart from that, it's got the usual kind of things, 14 different colors. It's FHD, that stands for Full HD, and what that means is that it's at 1080p as opposed to 720p, and what that really means is that it has a very nice, crisp image. Even at lower magnifications, it looks very cool. It also has HDMI out, so you can plug it into a larger screen and use the larger screen to read on rather than the 12-inch screen on the device. So let's say that you've got a 40-inch television at home, you could plug it up into the 40-inch television and you could read on that 40-inch screen, which is cool. Other devices do have that, but I don't know of any other devices that have got this, which is HDMI in. That's kind of weird, but the point is you can plug an external camera into the Visolux XL FHD, and now you can use the external camera for distance viewing. So you can point the camera into the distance and see on the device's screen whatever that camera is looking at, and you can zoom in and out on all of those things. Now, you do have to buy that camera separately, and there are, I believe they have on their website, a list of recommended cameras. Yeah, that's a very cool feature, which I haven't seen before. So we should have it, apparently, the beginning of June. So in just over a month, and I would encourage people to come take a look, because it's a really nice compromise in between the portability of the handheld electronic magnifier and the size of the desktop. It's just sitting right in that middle range there, and I think a lot of people will find it really useful. You know, people don't always want to have a huge device in their house that they have to keep in one place, and whenever they want to read, they have to take their documents over to it. And with this, you don't have to do that because it's very portable. So, yeah, please come and check it out in early June.
All right, and of course, you can always go and do that at our Chicago Lighthouse location at 1850 West Roosevelt. You can call them at 312-997-3683. And, of course, you can contact Mr. Luke Scriven at...
Telephone 312-997-3649. Email address Luke, L-U-K-E, dot Scriven, S-C-R-I-V-E-N, at chicagolighthouse.org. And, of course, once we have it, it will be on our website at lighthousetoolsforliving.com. And we also have a YouTube channel, and we do video reviews of devices. And this is very likely to be one of the devices that we will do a video review for. You can see that channel at youtube.com/CHI Lighthouse. And we are just about to upload a new video on the Explore 8 electronic magnifier from Humanware, which is another great device. And yes, once we receive the Visilux XL FHD, we will post a video up there. Now, you can also view those videos through our website, lighthousetoolsforliving.com. If you click on a product that you're interested in and you see a video button underneath the image of the product, then that will show you the YouTube video for that product. And so there's a couple of different ways to do that.
And also, you've got a roadshow coming up?
Sure have. Let's have a look. I believe that we are going to Merrillville, Indiana. And so the address is going to be 3198 East 83rd Place. That's Merrillville, Indiana. Zip code 46410. And that's going to be next Wednesday, which, if you can believe it, is going to be May 2nd. So we've got through April, and we're now into May. And the name of the location is Tradewinds, and we usually have a good show there, so we're going to have a great selection of our assistive technology products as well as our kind of tools for living, and we will be going between 10:30 and 3, so if you have an interest in checking things out, then please come along.
And also, are you still offering home services?
We are doing in-home. However, we have been cutting down on those. So generally, the in-home services are going to be for people who aren't able to make it to us for various reasons. For example, they don't have the transportation capabilities, or if there is some kind of physical impairment which makes it difficult for them to make it to us and things like that. So we are cutting down on that service now that we're reaching the warmer months and people are more inclined to travel. However, it is still a possibility, and you can call me if you would like to talk about that.
Of course, you can reach him at his direct number at 312-99... Is it 997?
997-3649.
Yes. You got it. All right. And with that, it's time for this week's...
Customer of the Week! And this Customer of the Week is a lady that I went to see just yesterday. Now, she knew that she wanted a desktop electronic magnifier, but she wasn't sure which one she wanted. And her son had been doing a lot of research on the internet and things like that. However, doing research on the internet can only take you so far. At some point, you've got to get your hands on some actual physical units. So after a lengthy discussion with them, I went to the lady's house. We had chosen four potential units which we thought might fit her needs. And so I took all of those in the van to her house, and we set them all up next to each other on her dining room table and plugged them all in and turn them all on. So we've got four electronic magnifiers set up on her table, and she was sliding on a... She had a chair with wheels, so we were rolling from one to the other, to the other, to the other, and then back again.
Awesome.
Yep, rolling back and forth, testing out the different electronic magnifiers and how they worked reading the things that she wanted to read. It was a great time, and at the end of it, I'm happy to say that we reached a conclusion and found a unit which she was very satisfied with. So, all in all, a great experience.
All right, and that's this week's Customer of the Week. And anything else? Last-minute tidbits?
I think that's pretty much it, except just to say, please come to the roadshow, and if you've got any specific products that you would like to see, then all you have to do is get in touch with me, and I would be happy to bring anything along if I have it in stock.
And that does it for this week's Luke's Laboratory, right here on this week's edition of The Beacon. I'm Juan Suarez. Join us again next week right here on WCPT 820 AM.
Well, that's it. I'm going to go home and sit down for 12 seconds before I have to get back up and go teach two yoga classes tonight.
But that's invigorating, doesn't it? It just spreads a whole wealth of blood that flows through your body.
It does, and I love it. I keep saying I have to. I don't have to. I get to. I get to go teach two yoga classes tonight. I'm feeling worn out, and I need recharge a little bit. So that's what I need. It's all fine. Life is grand. I just want to sit down for a few seconds and take a breath, and then I can get up and get going again. So that's what I'm looking forward to, my friends. That's going to do it for us this week. Many thanks to Brett and Sandy for all their contributions to the show. Thank you to you as well,
Dee
Hawkins. Thank you for you. And many thanks to Dr. Janet Slick, our president and CEO, for her undying support of our little show here. Have a good week. Hey, it's supposed to be warm this week, so enjoy it. Get sunshine out, and maybe next week we won't have to talk about the weather so much because it'll, stop being so bipolar. Right, exactly. So take care. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you same time, same place next Saturday.